He takes a misstep and tumbles down a cliff. This could have ended in a terrible death, far from home, the worst thing that can happen to an Akha person. But instead, he lands in the camp of a wealthy salt seller. The salt seller brews tea, the two men start talking, and the coincidence could have been anything. The salt seller will now marry the farmer's daughter, or the farmer's fall protected him from being washed away in a flood. This time, the farmer was able to trade with the salt seller without having to walk all the way down to the market town. It was a good dream with no bad omens, which pleases everyone seated on the floor around the fire pit. As Amma said, every story, every dream, every waking minute of our lives is filled with one fateful coincidence after another. People and animals and leaves and fire and rain, we whirl around each other like handfuls of dried rice kernels being tossed into the sky. A single kernel cannot change its direction. It cannot choose to fly to the right or to the left, nor can it choose where it lands, balanced on a rock and therefore salvageable, or bouncing off that same rock into the mud, becoming instantly useless and valueless. Where they alight is fate, and nothing, no thing anyway, can change their destinies. Second brother is next in line to tell his dream. It is ordinary. Third brother recites his dream, which is worse than dull. Abba nudges me with his elbow. "Girl, tell us a dream you had last night." "My dream?" The request surprises me because neither of my parents has asked this of me before. I'm just a girl, unimportant, as I've been told many times. Why Abba has chosen this day to single me out, I don't know, but I hope to be worthy of the attention. I was walking back to the village after picking tea. It was already dark. I could see smoke rising from household fires. The smell of the food should have made me hungry. I'm always hungry. But my stomach, eyes, arms, and legs were all happy to know I was where I was supposed to be. Our ancestral home. I watch my family's faces. I want to be honest, but I can't alarm anyone with the truth. "What else did you see?" Amma asks. "In our village, power and importance go in this order. The headman, the Ruma, the spirit priest, who keeps harmony between spirits and humans, and the Nima, the shaman, who has the ability to go into a trance, visit the trees God planted in the spirit world to represent each soul on earth, and then determine which incantations can be used to heal or enhance vitality. These men are followed next by all grandfathers, fathers, and males of any age. My mother is ranked first among women, not only in our village, but on the entire mountain. She is a midwife and so much more, treating men, women, and children as they pass through their lives. She's also known for her ability to interpret dreams. The silver balls that decorate her headdress tremble, catching the firelight as she waits for my response. The others bend their heads over their bowls, nervous for me. I force myself to speak. "I dreamed of a dog." Everyone prickles at this revelation. "We allow dogs to live among us for three reasons," Amma says reassuringly, trying to settle the family. "They are essential for sacrifices. They alert us to bad omens, and they are good to eat. What kind was yours?" I hesitate once again. The dog in my dream stood on our roof, alert, his snout pointed upward, his tail erect. To me, he looked as though he were guarding our village, and seeing him made me feel confident that I would make it home safely. But the Akha people believe. Amma gives me a stern look. "Dogs are not human, but they live in the human world. They are not of the spirit world, but they have the gift of seeing spirits. When you hear a dog howl or bark in the night, you know he has spotted a spirit and hopefully scared him away. Now answer me, girl," she says, pushing her silver bracelets up her wrist. "What kind was yours?" The whole family was sitting outside.